5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to your daily dose of facts to fight off the liberal gaslighting.
You can be in the middle of a hurricane.
You have sanctuary in the city of Chicago.
Or you can be on a calm day. North is still north. You could be in a thunderstorm.
I am angry. We are not going back. Not ever.
North is still north. People can yell at me.
The hell with the Supreme Court. We will defy them.
North is still north. It doesn't change fundamental things. And in this business, right is still right, even if you stand by yourself.
We don't get fooled again. No, no.
Live across the fruited plain and from sea to shining sea, we're converting the Marxist left 1 hour at a time on the Wendy Bell radio program.
Hey!
Hello, America and beyond the fruited plain. Welcome home to the Wendy Bell radio program. We are delighted to be with you. 3 hours of broadcasting excellence for you today. We've got a lot of audio sound bites. It's been a busy week in the House of Representatives. It's been a busy week in the United States Senate. And we're beginning to see what I believe is the real fracturing that needs to happen in the Republican Party as patriots, as pro-America, America First, MAGA lovers, right? MAGA believers are now separated from the establishment. It is a very fascinating thing to watch. And we're going to walk you through some audio sound bites that prove that to you. Now, the theme today, the title of today's show, Death to America, sounds very grim and bleak, but it is not. And I will explain right after the most important part of the show. Welcome home. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Amen. Sometimes I step back and I look at how much we have lost, how much has been sacrificed, how many freedoms have been already taken from us, and how willfully and willingly so many people I know personally have been willing to hand over these precious fundamental rights and freedoms that are so necessary. And it's like it's slipping through our fingers, and it's terrifying. My son Ryan came home yesterday. He had a tennis match in the afternoon, came home. And he was telling me he was frustrated as this, he's a senior on the high school, all boys Catholic high school tennis team. And he came home, they had this away match and they were super excited to play it. And he and the guy he was supposed to play doubles with, both really good players, should have won their match. But the coach decided to split them up and to put both he and this other guy with other players who weren't quite as good, and none of these people is going pro, right? They're having a good time. And then they all summarily lost their matches. But one of the matches, which was the pivotal moment that the team realized they were going to lose the whole thing, happened before Ryan and his new teammate finished theirs. And the teammate, apparently, when he saw that the other team had lost and that there was no way that their school was going to win, he stopped trying. And Ryan came in the house and he was so upset. He's like, first of all, I got separated with this guy, and which is fine. We've got to play with different people. You've got to understand how different people work, teamwork, different personalities. I get it. The kid's 18. He sees it, right? But he said, but then when that moment came and the two guys playing next to us, our teammates lost, we still had a good part of a set to go. And he just stopped. Didn't just done. Well, what's the point? What's the point? We're not going to change the result. Therefore, I'm not going to expel the energy in order to achieve anything. And my kid was so upset about that. He's like, he just quits, Mom. Quit. And I said, you know what? It's so interesting that in like 5 weeks on the high school tennis team, when I didn't even know you knew how to hit a ball across the net, right? Over the net, you've learned so many pivotal life lessons about human nature, about the idea of being part of a group, a mission, having a group endeavor, and then realizing that in that group, you are an individual who, if you don't perform, if you don't live up to your end of the bargain, there's no way that the team can get it across the finish line. There's no way you're going to come home with the trophy. This is so applicable to everything going on right now. We have various people on our team who pretended that they really wanted to be a part of it. They're like, yeah, I really want to be a part of this. Let's do this. I'm with you. Let's go. And then when things get a little gnarly or complicated, they show their true colors, true cowardly colors, and either cut and run, or worse than that, they don't show up. They don't perform. We saw this yesterday multiple times, my friends, in various chambers, House Judiciary, House Oversight, the Senate hearings. Chris Wray, the head of the FBI, the guy who's in charge of intelligence, right? Whose office has gone after endless numbers of conservative Americans and Catholics and parents and people who believe in life. And has demonized these people, knocking on people's doors every single day as we speak. I saw another one yesterday. Knock, knock, knock. Guy gets out his camera. I mean, this is where your Ring doorbell and your cell phone and that record button have changed everything. The FBI, the establishment, is so desperate to control the narrative that they want to come and they want to knock on your door. If you write something on Facebook or Instagram or what have you that is contrary to the message that they want everybody to have, who in the hell are you? And you know what's so interesting? The people answering the door, the Americans being hounded, being threatened, being bullied. We just want to talk to you about some stuff we've seen online. How about get off my property and suck it? People are doing that and they're hitting record. It is such a bad look. And yesterday, we've got the sound for you. Some of the audio of these leaders, this FBI Director Wray, who is clearly a moron, but more importantly, he's there for a reason, and that is to execute an agenda that calls for death to America, death to your freedoms, death to your rights, death to your ability to say what you want, to post what you want, to listen to the music you want, to make the medical decisions you want, to fly the flag that you freaking want. They want to take that away from you. It's death by a thousand knocks on the door. It's listening to Merrick Garland or Alejandro Mayorkas or Anthony Fauci or any of the blowhards connected to this administration lie over and again. Death to America. Death to your confidence in any of these agencies that we need. If, of course, we're living in a government that cares about its people, that cares about its sovereignty. And this administration does not. They realize they have 6 short months to finish the job. And what we're noticing now is an aligning of this pattern. There's this pattern that's forming in our government that is making roads for, paving the way for Donald Trump to come back. This decision yesterday, did you see this? Mike Johnson is working on this deal. They're going to try to extend this FISA thing, this Section 702, so the federal government can still spy on us, but not without a warrant, and only for 2 years. There's a reason why Mike Johnson and the majority of the Republican Party are making this play, and Mike Johnson said it. He said, if we extend FISA, this ability for the federal government, under the guise of national security, to have the tools at their disposal to do legitimate investigations, to do legitimate surveillance, not on moms and dads and people who go to school board meetings, but we carve out some stuff and we make certain sidebar rules that have to be lived by, then when Donald Trump comes into office, he can then create this FISA idea, this foreign surveillance idea, in his liking. Ladies and gentlemen, you're watching the chairs on the Titanic move. Because a part is going underwater and another part is getting ready for the rebirth, for the reimagining, for the redevelopment, for the new people, the new priorities, the new plan to reverse all of the garbage that has led America on a path to its certain demise. We're going to hear from Catherine Herridge today as she stood up before House Oversight, Judiciary, I believe, and explain that your freedom of speech, that the freedom of the press dangles in the balance, specifically in the crosshairs where she is now as a truth teller and a Biden administration that wants to silence her. Everything is on the line. And there is a call out there, and I hope you're hearing it, to patriots. Patriots to rise up, to get organized, and to take action. When we come back, there's a very interesting vote on this next census, all right? I want to read you what's going on because we've been told for far too long this isn't a great replacement. This isn't about bringing Democrat voters. This isn't about redistricting. This certainly isn't about the Electoral College. I'm going to go with bullcrap, and I got the juice on that. Next on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So really quickly before I get to this great sound, this great sound at this convention, it's called the National Action Network. It is a bunch of black voters getting together, talking about agenda items important to their community. Al Sharpton, you know, he's the guy. They wait until you hear a Fox News reporter go in and ask him about diversity. Find out if they know what DEI is. Because presumably it is around primarily any minority community, by and large, blacks, Hispanics, etc., that this whole DEI thing exists. It's hilarious. Before we get to that, Breitbart has this headline. Democrats vote against a bill adding citizenship question to the census. Democrats vote against a bill adding citizenship question to the census. Now, this is the story. It's called H.R. 7109. It's called the Equal Representation Act. It requires the Census Bureau to include a citizen question on the decennial census questionnaire. Are you an American citizen? Are you from this country? Were you born in this country? Right? Second, the bill directs this information be used to ensure fair representation by requiring only citizens be included in the apportionment base. So, if you're not an American citizen, you should not be added to the census as an American citizen, and districts should not be changed. The representatives, number of representatives in the House per zip code per area, ought not change based on the Biden administration's desire to flood this country with God knows who from God knows where to the 8 millionth degree. Every single Democrat voted against it. Why would that be? Huh? It's almost like that's what they've wanted all along. It's unfortunate that we have to do this dance. It's unfortunate that we can't just have like Wonder Woman's lasso, right? Let's put it around people. It's the automatic truth serum. You're not allowed to lie when Wonder Woman's lasso is tied around you, right? Tell the truth. This is what we're trying to do. We're flooding the border because we realize that our policies are terrible. Donald Trump's going to win. And we've got to do whatever we can to stave this off. And our goal is to manipulate the House of Representatives and claim back some seats. A lot of seats. That's our strategy. Now, wouldn't that be nice? Because you'd miss 2 years of BS propaganda by these people who suck. But you know now, 100% of the Democrats, nope, we don't want the citizenship question. You know why. All right. So as I teaser-beezered you, Fox, this guy on Fox, this is on Jesse Waters last night. He goes to Al Sharpton's National Action Network convention, and he's going to be asking about diversity, equity, and inclusion. Well, tell me about DEI. What do you know about DEI? These folks don't know what it means, let alone some of these other questions. Very interesting peel back of this onion. Listen.
Happy DEI Thursday.
Yeah, man. Happy DEI Thursday.
What does DEI mean to you?
DEI? It's what? It's called December?
Diversity, equity, and inclusion.
Okay. Gotcha.
Wow. I guess you learn something new every day.
Some people say DEI stands for didn't earn it. Shouldn't we hire people based on merit?
Not solely on merit.
One of those Fox talking points, didn't earn it.
What about DEIQ?
DEIQ. Now, what's the Q?
Qualifications.
I don't think it's about qualifications because some people need to be trained.
Are you being fair?
Well, if you hire the person most qualified, isn't that fair?
Well, it all depends.
Martin Luther King Jr. said we shouldn't judge people on the color of their skin, but the contents of their character. Is he wrong?
We're not there yet.
I'm getting tired of seeing the same people having the same job.
I don't feel no ways tired.
District Attorney, why not focus on crime instead of Trump?
Run, Forrest, run!
How is Kamala Harris doing?
I don't know her too well.
What is her job?
She's a secretary.
No.
She's actually running the country. Kamala Harris is running the country.
She's not freely this week at her own will.
Who's gagging her?
Those who are over her.
Joe Biden?
Might be beyond Joe Biden.
Jesus?
I wouldn't say Jesus because Jesus is not here.
Looked up and I said, and it's not even close.
What is Kamala Harris's greatest accomplishment?
Oh, man.
Whatever it is, I'm not affected by it.
Living the DEI dream.
And my dream is building bridges, not walls.
What has Joe Biden done for black voters?
I would say nothing. I'm not voting for Joe Biden. You can put that on.
And you ain't black.
Gave us a holiday.
He's helping. I don't know.
Who will you be voting for?
Independent.
And you ain't black.
It is our intention to be behind him. But also hold them accountable.
So what has he done for the black community?
That's the end of my sentence, period.
That's it.
Why are African-American voters flocking to Donald Trump?
They had it better when he was in office the first time.
A lot of young people in particular who don't know their history.
They are stupid.
The Trump cult, MAGA.
Okay.
Y'all know who you are. MAGA got black people in there too.
He's helping them.
How?
Money-wise, economy-wise.
He believes in taking care of America first.
Donald Trump's a trash talker. So sometimes, you know, some people gravitate to the trash talk.
Mr. Trump, you're not a nice person.
We don't need nice.
That's true. But actually, I am.
I just think it is the greatest 3 minutes on radio, on live stream, on television today. It is in the raw, 100%. The very people who the system is supposed to be completely twisted and bent out of shape in order to, let's say, accommodate and even the playing field, don't even know what DEI is. And they don't believe that Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, or anybody in this administration has done a damn thing for them. What did Trump do? Why do people like Trump? Because things were better with him, they said. Unbelievable. And this is why we have something coming up. And it is truly an amazing number of black people defecting from the Democratic Party. Why? Well, you know why. Coming up on the Wendy Bell Radio Network. So O.J. Simpson has died, and I don't care. I don't care. He's a dirtbag. I remember where I was in that moment watching that trial. It was such an interesting time in American history. Because if you think about it, the whole Rodney King thing, the LA race riots, all this stuff, it really was, 30 years before George Floyd. It really was kind of the George Floyd time. 30 years earlier. And we were forced to look through the prism of race. Black guy accused of murdering his wife and a friend of hers who she might have been sleeping with at the time. That was what they were saying. Of course, we know it. Yes. But it was in that moment and in that verdict that I think a lot of America held its breath. Because had O.J. Simpson been found guilty, I'm pretty sure a lot of America would have burned. And that was supposed to be okay. And it was never okay. It wasn't okay in 2020 in this quote-unquote summer of love. And it wasn't okay in the 1990s. It's not okay. And I'm tired of making excuses for people who believe it's their right to go out and to cause damage and to make people feel unsafe and to steal and to loot and to burn and to cause madness because they're angry about something. That's not the process. That's not the way. And it was allowed. And it was a very sobering moment. I was working for the NBC affiliate in St. Louis, Missouri. And I didn't know my husband, Joe, at the time yet, but he was working in medical school at one of the local hospitals. And he remembers nurses and other people in the hospital after the verdict came out, not guilty. Some of the black staffers in the hospital running down the hallway, hooting and hollering, saying, "You can't squeeze the juice." And somehow in all of this, the brutal, grisly murders of a woman and a man just sort of went poof. And we got blurred in this identity politics stuff, this race politics. It shouldn't be about that. It was wrong then and it's wrong now. Now, it's interesting, after OJ's death came out, there was a post out there, and I don't know if this is CNN or where it comes from, but it's an O.J. Simpson juror many years later saying point blank that 90% of the folks on the jury with her voted to acquit O.J. Simpson for murder as a form of payback for Rodney King. Think about that. Justice as retribution? That is so beyond wow. I want you to hear this as we open the door into this White House commentary yesterday. As they put out a statement kind of grieving the loss of what is purported to be this like hero in O.J. Simpson. What? And then making no mention whatsoever of Nicole Brown Simpson or Ronald Goldman. It was wild. Let's start with this juror saying what she said, why they voted to acquit. It wasn't because they thought it was innocent. It's because they had other motives. What? Go.
Do you think that they're members of the jury that voted to acquit OJ because of Rodney King?
Yes.
You do?
Yes.
How many of you think felt that way?
Oh, probably 90% of us.
90%? Did you feel that way?
Yes.
That was payback.
Uh-huh.
You think that's right?
Do you think that's right? And the juror just kind of shrugs her shoulders and does one of these. It is what it is. Like, we either have a system that works for you irrespective of what you look like, or we don't. That's this whole race thing that has been used and abused by people like Al Sharpton and Jesse Jackson and other people out there to divide us. It's so reprehensible. It's so exhausting. And I'm so tired of it. And it's been going on for decades. Decades. Will we ever be able to walk through that door and close it? No. Not as long as there are still people who are willing to use it to get ahead. Or to keep somebody else down. I want you to hear this. Breitbart. White House expresses condolences to OJ's family. No mention of the victims. This is your White House. These are the leaders of the United States of America. This is the prism through which their agenda is seen and executed. It's not about merit. It's not about ability. It's not about vision. It's not about making anything better. It is about keeping you angry and everybody distrustful of each other so that we're on pins and needles ready to jump. And we're busy and distracted so they can continue doing what they're doing. Here's your story from Breitbart. The White House sparked controversy Thursday when it expressed condolences to the family of O.J. Simpson, without ever mentioning the families of Nicole Brown or Ron Goldman, the two people he'd been accused of and acquitted of murdering before being found unanimously responsible for their deaths in a civil trial. Our thoughts are with his families during, what? During this difficult time, obviously with his family and loved ones, White House Press Secretary Karine Jean-Pierre said during a briefing. And I'll say this, I know that they have asked for some privacy, and so we're going to respect that, and I'll just leave it there. That's it, Simpson's family announcing his death, 76, following a battle with prostate cancer. All right, whatever, goodbye, good riddance. He was surrounded by his children and grandchildren, a statement from the family said. During this time of transition, his family asks that you please respect their wishes for privacy and grace. Now, the whole background, I mean, we'd have to go back 30 years, whatever it is, go back in time to rehash that awful story. But that's not even the story. The murders of two people isn't even the story anymore. It's this gross lens through which we're supposed to see the world. And O.J. Simpson was seen as a wealthy, famous black man who was able to get away with something the same way a lot of black people see wealthy, famous, rich. I already said that. White people use the system and get away with it. In fact, that's exactly what you're going to hear in this audio soundbite. This is CNN's Stephanie Elam. She's reporting from Los Angeles. I think she's talking with Jake Tapper. And she's saying something like they're doing live team coverage. Let's go out to California where OJ slow speed chase and the Ford Bronco, blah, blah, blah. I mean, the whole thing. It was so surreal. Let's go out and talk to Stephanie. Stephanie, what's going on with this? She says the quiet part out loud that O.J. Simpson was able to get away with murder. Listen.
And it's also just worth noting how much was impacted by this trial, Jake. So many things happened. We saw policing changing here in the city. And it's also worth noting, because of that unrest, that racial unrest in the 90s, that is why so many people who may not have been invested in O.J. Simpson were just happy to see that someone who was rich and famous and black could get away with what other people did in the system as well, too.
That's going all over the internet. People are going haywire about that. But it's almost like this dream sequence. We were being told everything stacked up against O.J. Simpson, right? And this is the beginning of real forensic evidence. And they tried to pin it on Mark Furman, the detective, and then the judge, and then, of course, Marcia Clark and all this stuff going on. And the reality was, the evidence pointed a certain direction. Everybody knew. I don't think anybody was really on the fence, no matter what you look like. Nobody was like, I don't know. I mean, it could have been somebody else. All the forensic evidence points in one direction, but who knows? I mean, it could have been really anybody. And then when O.J. Simpson was acquitted, it was vindication for a lot of people in the black community. And I think a lot of us stopped and were like, wait a minute. Nicole Brown Simpson was virtually decapitated. That was not just some random crime. That was vengeful, vile, hatred, abusive. Everything. Have we gotten much better? Have we moved the needle? Are we doing better today? Can we say that our community has gotten stronger, that the walls between us have come down, that we live peacefully? Or is this DEI thing that we brought to you at the bottom of the last half hour, where we go into a convention of black voters and talk to them and they all say the same thing? It's not working. This isn't working. And it makes me angry. You should not have an excuse to go break the law because you're frustrated by a story that's created in the news, by the news, and perpetuated by a government that wants you busy being filled with hate. And now we have a young generation of new voters coming through the ranks who realize that all of this identity politics stuff and this notion that the moment America realized somebody could get away with murder because of racial politics, they just want to be able to make ends meet, move out of the house, realize the American dream, fall in love, get married, start a family, do what they want to do, start a business, which we can't do anymore in this country. And Joe Biden says he wants to finish the job. That's scary. So how far have we come? We haven't. We gave the same people the same carte blanche to do the same stuff that happened in the 90s. And the police were told to stand down. Let it happen. And Chris Cuomo said, whoever said protests had to be peaceful, as the media lied to our faces. Mostly peaceful, they said. Shouldn't we be further along after 30 years? Don't you think? When we come back, my friends, this Wall Street Journal poll I was alluding to, this Trump dragging the black vote away from the Democratic Party, and they're freaking out, and they should. What it says, not just about black men, but women. What next on the Wendy Bell Radio Program? We kind of got a little flavor of it on our tongue in that one segment we played in the last half hour, where Fox News goes to this National Action Network and asks a bunch of black Americans, you know, what has Kamala Harris done for you? What has Joe Biden done for you? What is diversity and equity and inclusion? Should we not also remember qualifications and merit? And can we move past this chapter of beating a dead horse of inequity and realize that if you stop allowing yourself to be held down, you can go wherever you want to go and fly? A lot more, I believe, black voters are waking up to this. So this headline from Breitbart. Wall Street Journal poll, Donald Trump nearly doubles support among black men and women since 2020. And this is significant. 30% of black men, 30% of black men, and 11% of black women intend to vote for former President Donald Trump in 2024. Wall Street Journal polling found Thursday, which is a significant increase from 2020. Now, the sample size is minuscule. This is not some exhaustive, you know, wow, he's going to crush it. It is merely a little tip of flavor on your tongue about what could be coming. Losing black support would be a giant blow, of course, to Joe Biden's reelection. Only 12% of black men voted for Trump in 2020. That's what the data has shown us, which is huge because it's way more than they did. I think it was 8% in 2016. And every tick up in the black community is a significant milestone. It is, because generationally, we're told Democrats are for you. Republicans are the white people who don't like you. They're the racists. They're the rich folk. And then all of a sudden, we're seeing this weird shift, as it seems the Democratic Party has become more college-educated, white, snobby, sniveling liberals. And the Republican Party has opened up the tent and has been open to people from all walks of life. If you want limited government, if you want to make your own decisions, if you believe in freedom, if you believe in the Constitution, if you believe in fairness and justice, come over. What have you to lose? Well, the message is being heard. In 2020, 6% of black women said they would vote for Trump. 5 points less than the Journal's 2020 four polling. So now 11%. In more good news for Trump, 42% of black women remain up for grabs. That's the sweet spot. 42% of black women in this poll of like 300 people, right? I don't know. I don't know who I want. That button being pushed is so remarkable because they're awakened and they're getting off of their own respective cruise control. See, I've been asleep at the wheel and I've listened because in my family, people think many times in the black community, we're raised, you vote Democrat. They share your values. They care for you. They fight for you. They are your representatives until they're not. And Joe Biden opened the floodgates at the border. And now everybody's community, black, Hispanic, white, Asian, Greek, whatever it is in danger. So 42% of the black women surveyed in this poll saying they don't know means if you just play the odds and just say argument's sake, just say a quarter of them decide to vote for Donald Trump. It's lights out. It's game over. And they know it, right? The Democrats know it. The progressive Marxist communist socialists, they understand it's coming to an end. They realize that. The Republicans know it too. Did you guys see the thing Ron DeSantis put out? I don't even know if it was Ron DeSantis. Let me see if I can pull this up because I just read it to Brock. And it was it's a picture, it's a tweet. Let's see here. Of Ron DeSantis. Here it is. Breaking news. Donald Trump responds to Governor Ron DeSantis pledging to help his campaign and raise money for Trump's 2024 reelection. And this is what Trump said. And it's very purposeful. He said, quote, "Today, I heard very nice things. I heard he, Ron DeSantis, is going to campaign very hard for me. And he's going to raise a lot of money for me. Ron, we like you. Welcome back." These are not so subtle messages. Donald Trump going to a Chick-fil-A in Atlanta, which is in a predominantly African-American neighborhood, and to be greeted by young Gen Z women who say, "Don't believe the media, Mr. Trump. We like you. We got you." They've got to be freaking out about this. And it's a beautiful thing. 42% black women undecided. The poll sampled, now I'm going to tell you, it is a small sample. It's worth talking about, though. 218 registered voters taken within the last couple weeks and has a 5.2 margin of error. It ain't scientific. But they quote somebody in this article, Percy Jones, as a black restaurant manager who lives in Atlanta, said he remembers Trump's time in office more warmly, especially regarding immigration. He didn't allow people who didn't live here to come here, Jones said. They're taking all of our jobs. I'm not going to let O.J. Simpson and all of the conversation that we're supposed to be having defending that we're not racist. No, we're not. I'm not going to let that steal the oxygen today. Because coming up, in the next half hour, we have something very important to address. We've spoken earlier this week about Elon Musk possibly being the one individual standing in the way of complete totalitarianism because of what's happened with him in Brazil. Well, let's talk about Catherine Herridge in the hot seat speaking to House lawmakers about her freedom of the press being stolen. The First Amendment is on death row right now. She'll explain after this on the Wendy Bell Radio Network.